Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Mr. Davis and I'm joined on this Hell in a Cell Go Home week. The championship is once again up for grabs. My mortal foe, lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Mr. Davis. You son of a bitch in your big stick.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. How the devil are you?
I'm good. Is son of a bitch an okay thing to say?
I think so. I mean, McMahon says it all the time. And he was saying that on a PG show.
Yeah, but they say the S word on a PG show.
Well, do they?
Yeah.
Who do?
Occasionally, they'll bust like three times a year, they'll let an S word slip through.
Yeah.
Hey, but they're like,
when the ratings are down, you've got to bring out the big guns, the S word.
And when they haven't got any good ideas to make a feud feel more intense, they just have Roman Reigns come out and say bitch.
Well,
so
that's what I mean.
All in.
I mean, that's why I thought like us, you know, joking about your son of a bitch isn't too terrible because it was Roman Reigns' catchphrase for, I mean, a little while, basically.
Well, I'm very much doing an 80s action movie, son of a bitch. That's my style. Like the hero, the protagonist has just gotten to a point, but the antagonist has outsmarted him, and the hero looks into the camera, just slightly off camera, go, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Or as a term of endearment, like in Predator, when Arnie sees Carl Weathers like, Dylan, you son of a bitch.
But this definitely isn't a form of endearment.
No, it's not.
I hate you guys.
I hate you so much. Do you know what I also hated? Raw. Shall we get into it?
Son of a bitch, Raw.
Here is the show.
After all these months, after a storyline that started around January, February time, which, by my watch, is 9 years ago, we finally have an answer for who was Downbreaker. That storyline was concluded on this season premiere of Raw on Monday nights. And it was also lumped in with the Retribution faction. Ali was the leader. This was a crap episode of Raw. I'm Mr. David. I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen. We're gonna unpack the Retribution stuff first, and the Hacker stuff, and then we're gonna get through this together, gang.
Oh, so when Prince Ali, was revealed to be the leader of Retribution, there were a few people who said, it totally makes sense because he was supposed to be the hacker. Like, he was reportedly going to be the SmackDown hacker back in January before WWE decided we're not going to do that storyline anymore. And then other people argued, well, maybe they can just tie in the SmackDown hacker storyline. And I said at the time, I'd love to have this level of optimism that just you can look at this storyline and be like, well, now it all makes sense. Like, they've just tied this all together, as opposed to what has quite clearly happened is that they introduced this group because ratings were down and they wanted something that was shocking, didn't really know what they were going to do with it, didn't even really know who was going to be in the group, then looked at it was like, oh, actually, this group's a bit crap. They need a leader. It's Ali's the leader. And then after a while, I was like, I suppose we could just make, like, just say he was the SmackDown hacker as well. And just sort of stuff. And we won't make a big deal out of it. Just have Ali say it in a promo. By the way, I was actually the SmackDown hacker as well. I was such a SmackDown hacker, I'm now on Raw. It was not a good night for Retribution. That's all a bit rubbish, right? Because it's all just a bit lame and a bit haphazard and a bit just sort of thrown against the wall. You couple that with the fact that they bloody lost twice, really, on this show. And then you've got Ali going like, but we're still a threat. I'm like, you're sodding not, mate. You're absolutely not a threat.
I'm starting to think his light thing, you know, when he just grips the light with his hand, that's emblematic of his push.
And his various pushes that he's had over the years as well. Yeah, the audacity of this man to cut this backstage promo being like, we're a threat and no one is safe from us. I'm like, well, everyone apart from the Hurt Business, who quite convincingly beat you, and everyone apart from the Fiend, who quite convincingly beat you.
Yeah, so this is, again, obviously we're not targeting Ali or the members of Retribution as people. They are making the best of an absolutely terrible creative situation from as far as I can see. Because everything Ali has done on social media, his performance is always very good here. This was his big sort of heel reveal, remember? We were meant to have this last week, the week after Ali revealed himself as Retribution's leader, when everyone was really excited. Well, not everyone. We weren't. But there was, undoubtedly, some momentum behind the group. They had something actually going for them, a purpose, a leader. Okay, we've had the first 2 months of nonsense and just incoherent attacks. Now we can have a proper storyline for Retribution with Ali as the sort of figurehead, the person at the front doing all the mic work. Then that explanation heel promo the week after was unceremoniously dropped. We both said here, that tells you WWE don't care about Retribution. All they think of them is that they're a mid-card act. I said 2 weeks ago, mark my words, before Survivor Series, like, they will lose to the Hurt Business at Survivor Series, and then they'll disappear into nothingness. And that happened on this show. Second proper week that they were at Raw with Ali as their leader, they had an 8-man tag against the Hurt Business and lost decisively because it was, oh God, T-Bar.
The bloody big lad tapped out. Like, if they're going to have anyone tap, it's going to be Slapnuts, right? It's going to be Spunk. It's going to be Shane Thorne. Mm. They're not going to tap out the big guy, but no, they just tapped out the big guy. I would honestly wager that it's punishment because they were trying to get themselves over on Twitter. And Dijak's the one who's been doing all of it. Dijak has been the one pushing ahead, being like, I'm going to create a different character compared to the one they're making me portray on TV. I honestly would put money on this is punishment for him trying to get himself over.
Certainly could be. It could also be in this match, Slapnuts, Slapjack, got legit knocked out by Cedric Alexander. Did you see this? It was like I think it was a spinning back fist, which are always very dangerous moves to take because you can't really see where you're going to work the move to protect the other person. AJ Styles, I once asked someone who wrestled AJ Styles once, I was like, how do you take the back fist? And he just said, you just gotta take some of those moves.
You just take it.
And yeah, Slapnuts just sort of collapsed in the ring and fell out. And the match fell apart a bit and he stumbled back in the ring. You know, the guy's knocked out. I don't know why the referee didn't jump in there. If that was a women's match, the whole conversation about this episode would be very different. Everyone would be saying women are unsafe, they can't work. And then like a bunch of people on the other side of things saying, well, the management should have stepped in. This is outrageous that they let them wrestle in their own way. But it didn't No one's really batted an eyelid, really, because it's just a guy getting knocked out in a wrestling ring. That's kind of an occupational hazard.
It ain't ballet, folks.
So maybe he was meant to take the tap out loss to Lashley. They called an audible. We don't know. But the big headline is WWE buried Retribution here. They dropped Raw Underground last Friday. That was the reported thing. And, you know, that hasn't been around for a while. We thought initially it was because of COVID-related reasons. Now it seems it was already probably on its way out because it never had a direction, really. And Retribution, I think that they kept on saying it throughout the entire show. This is a season premiere. We've got a new cast of characters. We're going to start new stories, which they failed at massively on this show. But part of this process is tying up the loose ends of the previous season. And one of these awkward things that's still there is this crap Retribution faction that WWE Creative don't have any good ideas for. So we're in the process of the slow but actually quite quick death, where they lost here and they got beaten up by the Fiend decisively. The Fiend individually took out every single one of them. And then Ali afterwards backstage saying, oh, by the way, I was the hacker. The damage has been done.
Yeah, and the Fiend thing is even, I'd say, worse for them because they picked the fight. Like, it's not like the Fiend came out on Raw and challenged Retribution to come out for a scrap. The Fiend was just minding his own business, and Retribution thought they were the big lads, came out for a fight, and just got beaten up by him. And that was it, and they got sent packing. Mia Yim disappeared, because Mia Yim was out there at the start of this show. They mentioned her by name. Reckoning, is that her name, or is she the other one?
Retaliational Reckoning.
Either one of the two, because Mercedes Martinez has already been dropped from the group. Mm. And like, so Mia Yim was out there. And then as soon as the match started, Mia Yim's just gone. Just absolutely disappeared from this because there's no ladies in the Hurt Business. So you've got to get out of here, Mia Yim. Also, the Fiend's going to beat everyone up afterwards. So better get out of here. Then she's just backstage with them later on being like, oh, I'm still part of this group. And I mean.
Yeah, it's not like the Fiend has a lady person with him now. She could have fought with Alexa Bliss. Alexa get physical there.
Well, you know, these are things that you only think about in hindsight, really, isn't it? 2020. It's like we were talking about with Halloween Havoc 95. What that show needed was a second draft.
Yeah, so everybody, I'm in the process of writing a book right now, and that is like a novel. And one of the things I'm learning about the creative process is rough drafts are a wank. It's a pile of rubbish. But from that pile of rubbish, you redraft, you formulate ideas, you detect inconsistencies, and you fix them. You craft them into hopefully something that makes sense and people want to read or see or watch. Raw is a permanent state of rough draft. And you look at the reports and the creative procedure behind it. How could it be anything else? It's a show that has its script torn up hours before it goes on air.
And what really pisses me off the most, kind of like in all of this, is that you've got, I'd say, dickheads like Seth Rollins going out and doing interviews being like, the problem is the fans. The problem is that fans just, they can't deal with long-term storytelling. And because they can't deal with long-term storytelling, we as a company can't do long-term storytelling. And you just want to, like, this isn't long-term storytelling. Ali being revealed as the hacker is not a payoff of long-term storytelling. It is tying up a loose end that you forgot about. Like, as a company, your bad creative forgot about and your directionless creative forgot about. But in 5 years' time, Pritch will just do a podcast and it'll be like, yeah, it was the plan all along, but Meltzer and Sean Ross Sapp and Dirt Sheets and the fans just can't take long-term storytelling. And the worst thing about this is you have fans that lap that up. And like we get comments all the time being like, problem is YouTubers. It's people like you that can't hack long-term storytelling, and that's why you don't like it.
Yeah, go and watch how we talk about actual long-term storytelling on AEW, Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, just this terrifically crafted year-long narrative. And it's all the better for it. Excuse me. I guess, where do we go from here? Retribution, in my opinion, this was a burial. I can't see them coming back from this. And, you know, it's not like they're this great faction with loads of promise to start with. They were rubbish from the get-go. They were rubbish in all the bits in between. Ali reveal as the leader was a thing. A lot of people liked it. I just couldn't get invested in it because I knew where this was going. And that is this week where they just lose all the time in multiple ways. So
I said it at the time, it was never direction. It was a moment. Mm, yeah. And as a moment, it was good. But so, it had no future.
Just trying to figure out what this is by WWE's own booking. Ali wasn't beaten up by The Fiend. So The Fiend went to hit a Sister Abigail on Ali. He got away and The Fiend mandible clawed T-Bone instead. Even though T-Bone's got a mask on. How does that work?
It's how powerful the mandible claw is. It even gets through masks.
Mm. So that to me says we're getting Ali versus The Fiend.
That your takeaway from all of this?
I think...
No, dude, what we're getting is Retribution versus the Hurt Business. That's what we're getting out of this.
All right, are you going to bet we're getting... So for Hell in a Cell this weekend, because what they've done, the other side of this is they had loads of plans on SmackDown for The Fiend, and then they traded him to Raw, and they've got nothing for one of their biggest, most overstars in the company. So I think they'll be like, oh, we can't just have The Fiend not have a match at Hell in a Cell. That's his pay-per-view. That's where he performed so well in that angle last year. I reckon we've got three Hell in a Cell matches already. I was going to say you could have Ali versus The Fiend in Hell in a Cell with the rest of Retribution outside the cell. Now, I think by this Sunday's pay-per-view, Ali versus The Fiend is on the card. As just a throwaway filler, give Fiend something to do before he gets his actual first Raw title program.
I am going to make a different prediction. I think that The Fiend is just going to interfere in the main event and cause the DQ between Drew and Randy Orton. And I think that we're going to get the Hurt Business of MVP, Apollo Crews, Shelton Benjamin, and Cedric Alexander versus Retribution of Ali, T-Bar, Slapjack, and Mace. And Retribution will win, and that will be, you know, them getting their win back after being beaten on Raw. And then we can have another 8-man tag on Raw the following night, or, you know, a variation of the 8-man tag, maybe a 6-man to shake things up a little bit on Raw the following week.
And that will all build, of course, to an elimination match between all of those people at Survivor Series.
Exactly. Well,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Lockdown has been hard on lots of people, but it's also been tough on, well, you know...
My big hairy balls, Luke!
Yes, your big hairy balls, Ollie.
So let's thank today's sponsor, Manscaped, for providing the best materials to give you the best manscaping experience possible. This could be the greatest ball shaving of all time!
Hygiene is super important in this, the new now. And the Perfect Package Essentials Kit by Manscaped comes with everything you need. High-performance USB rechargeable body trimmers with its advanced skin-safe technology, which is far more impressive than WWE's AI. Are nonsense at their pay-per-views.
And it's not just your big hairy balls that need sorting out, you also need to look at your big hairy nails, or your long hairy nails, or your big long nails.
Along with the Perfect Package Kit, you should also order the Shears 2.0, a newly improved luxury four-piece nail kit with stainless steel slashed tipped tweezers, round point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file.
Enroll in the Peak Hygiene Plan for quarterly replenishments of your favorite products and get 20% off your order using the code WTTV.
There's even free international shipping to the US, Canada, Australia, and Old Blighty United Kingdom. So get 20% off your order at manscaped.com using the promo code WTTB.
That's manscaped.com with the code WTTV for 20% off your order. Your neat and tidy balls will thank you. Do a $25 a month or more pledge hammer shout out for all those who very kindly subscribe to our Patreon. If you want to become a pledge hammer and get your own shout out and access to loads of exclusive content like mine and Luke's three and a bit hour review of WCW Halloween Havoc 95, which was hella fun to watch and review, go over to the Patreon page.
You've seen wrestling shows, sure. You've seen matches between Hogan and the Giant. Sure. You've seen matches with Lex Luger and Meng. Sure. But have you seen monster trucks on top of a building have a sumo wrestling match? They're welded together, Ollie. And then one of them falls off a building. It's wonderful.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I love it. I genuinely loved it, unabashedly so. So thank you. Here's some cheap pops to our pledge hammers. He's no jackass, Dano.
Woo. Nice. Yeah, the Shield Maiden, the Zornice.
Thank you. The Rocket, Dan Van Sky.
Dan Van Sky. The Snapdragon King, Rio Odante.
Thank you. Chris Hellfire Brimstone.
Oh, lovely. Jordan, don't you dare call me Mountain Dew.
Thank you, Jordan. I sure won't. The Hunter, Tyler Bailey.
Let's go hunting. Groovy, Dylan Powers.
Oh, yeah. Duncan, just Duncan.
He's just Duncan. This is some kind of Patreon shout-out. Nate dropped surname.
Nice reference. Peter Fibra. Peter Fibra Brontus. Is that like fiber optic?
That's fiber Brontus. Sort of.
Brantos?
Brantus, fiber Brant. Hey. Pete, you might have to explain that one. But yeah, love it. It's very good. And lastly for now, he's a sexy man. Sexy man. Not an Andrew Gross man. Gross man. Oh, thank absolutely you, wonderful. Everybody. Thank you all so much.
Let's see what you all thought on last night's episode of Raw. Bacon Rasher says, "Hi lads, so we now know T in T-Bar stands for tap."
Hey!
Burial for Retribution, like the Ali promo, big shame about the match.
Do you know what? You said it as well, but Ali's promo, his skill and his promo ability is really good. He is a great, great talent. His biggest problem is he's small and the company are never going to take him seriously.
The really, like, you know, this is a crap storyline, a crap faction that I've never been invested in. But what really, really, like, really saddens me, gets me down, hurts me, is that these are incredibly talented wrestlers in the prime of their lives being wasted. Like, thank God they're behind and under masks, because at least they can then re-debut hopefully somewhere else without all of this stink around them.
What? Like, it's bloody Dijak. Donovan Dijak is on Raw at the moment. Like, one of the best guys, like, from the PWG scene. Donovan Dijak is on the main roster, and he's just tapping out to Lashley in 5 minutes, clean as a sheet, in a wearing a crap mask, and then being chumpetized by The Fiend shortly thereafter.
There's no way they'll do that to Dijakovic. He's tall. There's no way they'll do that to Keith Lee. He's tall and big. I think we can put that way of thinking to one side now. It's like Vince likes big guys, sure, but it's not like that automatically saves you if you've come from NXT. It's so bad. Fabio Geronimo, great promo, good looking, incredible wrestler. Could Ali's problem be, well, ethnic?
I think it's his size. I think he's a small guy. I think that's going to always be their problem. Like, you are painted with a 205 Live brush. And Ali is just one of those guys that got painted with a 205 Live brush, and that's it. That's your lot in life. Even if you're on Raw, you're still a small guy.
Yeah, I don't think we're saying racial bias doesn't exist within WWE and they decide to push. But in this case, the size is working against him most, I would agree. Lester Wink 23, Retribution makes me miss Rowan's pet spider. Those were the days.
I'm not sure about that one, Lester. I'm not sure it makes me miss Rowan's pet spider. You want to talk about, like, long-term storytelling that they were pretending was long-term. What's in the box, long-term storytelling? The answer is, we don't know. Then the answer was, we've revealed it, we don't like it, and now we're forgetting about it.
Zachary Jenkins. So, Dijak got buried. Mr. Davis, I now know how you feel, and I am also now a Patreon.
Ah, well,
thank
welcome
you.
Aboard.
Jam. Zachary. Tomo's in the chat.
Hey,
where have
Tomo.
You been, Tomo? It's sad that a member of Retribution who wants to destroy WWE easily tapped to a full Nelson. Poor.
Tomo, this group wants to destroy WWE, and WWE's answer to that was to sign them to contracts and then put them in a draft. And then USA Network's decision was to draft that team. The team that wants to destroy this company. Come on now.
I've just noticed that there's some form of Wrestle Talk chat thing going on in the chat. Andy Datson's there. Pete Quinnell's also in here somewhere, apparently. Be gone!
Do some work!
Charlie Davis says, I thought it was impossible to make Alexa Bliss look bad, but her outfit last night was 2000s Hot Topic bad. Story is fun, but oh man.
Do you know, someone said that they can't get on board. I think it was on my draft pick video that I did last week, being like, I can't get on with the Alexa Bliss thing. I think she's just really wooden in all of this. And I thought, no, that's unfair. I thought she's been pretty great. And then I saw her on this week's episode where I was like, oh no, she is. She is pretty rubbish at this, actually.
Dejan Kenny Brew Boldham, Retribution got Nexus in my eyes. Why break up Iconic to put Peyton in a tag team with Lacey? And no, now I lost interest in Keith Lee. Thanks, WWE.
Oh, mate, that Peyton Royce thing. That, if it was up to me, that would have been our thumbnail. That would have been, and it would have been the title of the next 5 videos that we did.
That's why you're not in charge. Anton H, The Fiend versus all of Retribution, a full-on burial. Yeah. I think we agree with that. And Vault Knight, lastly for now. So if / when Retribution and The Fiend are picked as Team Raw for Survivor Series, who is Team SmackDown and why is Kevin Owens the leader?
Crikey. Could you imagine Raw picking? Because it's for brand supremacy, Retribution. You've got to be on our side. You've got to represent Raw. It's the most important thing in the world. Brand loyalty.
I don't, Aleister Black, Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio, how will they coexist, Team SmackDown? and Big E. I don't know. Do the full play-by-play review of this episode of Raw. It was the season premiere, because this was the first episode post-draft. Like I said, new cast of characters, new storylines happening. It was also the go-home episode for Hell in a Cell, to build all of those matches, to hopefully set up some more matches, and to give you those cliffhanger angles to make you want to hand over your hard-earned money to get the WWE Network and watch it. And WWE failed massively on both counts.
Yeah, they did, because there are four matches announced for Hell in a Cell. Two of them are Raw, and one of the Raw matches is Elias versus Jeff Hardy. Like, there's nothing for Lashley. There's nothing for Asuka. There's nothing for The New Day, your other champions. There's nothing for AJ. Like, there's nothing going on. Like, we did our predictions video, which will be going out later today, and we thought, what matches can we predict are going to be on this show? Couldn't think of a single one. The biggest star on this episode of Raw was bloody Otis, and he's on SmackDown.
I didn't mind that, though. I thought that was
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. The only thing I liked on this show was SmackDown's Otis.
Mm. It was a failure on those parts. That sort of will colour our feelings towards this review. You know, if you take those as the objectives, WWE completely missed the mark. But they did have a brand new opening video and song, because it is a new season. I could not sing you a single note from this song if my life depended on it.
I honestly thought the last song was the most generic song that they could possibly get. And credits to WWE, they proved me wrong and found one even more generic. Nothing against the artist. It's an instantly forgettable song.
Yeah. You were almost willing
that song to get going. You almost be like, come on, you can get it. If you just bit it a little bit faster, you could almost get there.
So the opening thing was Alexa Bliss in the ring, and the Fiend came out. She introduced him, and then Retribution came out and surrounded the ring, and then the lights cut off, and then the Fiend was no longer there, and then the Hurt Business came out for their 8-man tag against Retribution. It was just nonsense. The fakest, phoniest nonsense that makes me embarrassed to watch wrestling.
Hey, man, how did their commentary team not see Alexa Bliss in the ring? Like, how did that? Like, they were surprised to see her. I was like, but she's clearly been there all along. How did you not spot her?
Well, we'll get onto that after the main event cliffhanger as well, which I think is Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns stare down, holding the titles, WrestleMania go home levels of bad.
Oh, the wrestling over the belt.
Yes.
Give it, it's mine. No, it's mine.
We got a brief video package of Matt Riddle saying bro a lot. Someone pointed out on Reddit that he has the line, my last name's Riddle, which is ironic because I'm hard to figure out. And they pointed out, that's not ironic. That's the opposite of ironic. That's literally what your last name means. Rough draft.
It's bad script writing is what it is. Bad script writing.
Then we got the Hurt Business Retribution match and burial with the Fiend afterwards. Anything you want to say about the actual match?
Yeah.
I thought Ali looked good. I even wrote in my notes, I like this new vicious streak, the way he's going after Cedric Alexander.
Yeah. It's good. Okay, here's my note. Good action, but WWE have got this new thing that they really like to do, which is that they tease something that's not going to happen. In that, like, so this match goes through a commercial break. Before you get to the commercial break, the action spills outside. All of a sudden, the Fiend appears on screen. And you're like, oh my God, the Fiend is coming. You better stick around during the ad, like after the ads to come back. You come back, there's no Fiend. The match is still just going on. So it's just a false tease. And they've been doing this a lot on SmackDown as of late. You know, like Alexa Bliss was having a match with Lacey Evans, and all of a sudden the Fiend is like, the Fiend's coming, the Fiend's coming. Ad break. No, it's just Alexa Bliss getting worked over still. Mm. So it's just these false teasers, which just, and then just makes the actual reveal feel less impactful.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, because Fiend would come out later, but it was didn't really. It would have been better if they didn't have that little foreshadowing note. After that, we got AJ Styles versus Matt Riddle. AJ Styles, new season. Season 160 of Raw. AJ Styles now has a bodyguard.
Yep, he has got a big bodyguard. Raw Underground's closed, so the lad needed work. And he got work. He got a name bar, but the commentators clearly did not know his name because they just kept looking like, yeah, the big guy. The big chap with AJ Styles. Chap over there. Wearing the jeans.
I think that's Vince's direction. They know his name is Jordan Ogahebehen?
I honestly don't know. I'm afraid I don't know.
It's Jordan. Hard for Ollie to pronounce last name.
It's the big ninja.
Yeah, I think McMahon is going, no. Don't call him by his name. Say he's the big guy. The big guy in the ring.
We haven't got Ryback anymore. We can use that one.
Or Ryback might change his name now to stop them from this match, you know, it's Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles. And on paper, great, obviously. And when they were in the ring together, they had decent stuff. But it never got beyond a basic level because this wasn't a match about AJ Styles. It wasn't a match about Matt Riddle. A huge potential opportunity there to get Riddle over to the Raw audience. I know it's the same as the SmackDown audience, but you know, this is a time to freshen up people's characters, renew their pushes. It is a bit like a clean slate, but the entire match was designed around look at the big guy. And Matt Riddle lost because the big guy didn't even touch him. He was just nearby. That freaked Riddle out, got hit by a Styles Clash to lose.
Yeah, didn't make Matt look particularly great. Didn't think it made AJ look particularly great either. I miss Joseph Parks. I mean, I know there was the report that AJ was going to get a second, but I kind of wish it was Joseph Parks, to be honest. Commentary as well. The other running theme for the commentary in this is making it feel like this is a big deal for the season premiere. And Tom Phillips told us, this is a first time ever match on Raw. Because these two have already faced each other on SmackDown, but because it's on Raw, it's new. And we had this later on with the Kofi Sheamus match. They were like, this is the first time in 9 years these two have wrestled on Raw. And I'm like, mate, they had so many tag matches against the bloody bar. Like, it was never ending that tag season. They've wrestled quite a lot there, Todd.
It's, yeah, that those are the sorts of lines you give a heel commentator. It just robs the play-by-play guy of any credibility. It's awful.
Turns out the big guy's really good at solving riddles, which is just, you look at him, he's actually quite easy to work out. Just be tall, just be taller than him and look at him.
He's more like a magic eye, not a riddle. But for the big guy's performance, I thought he actually carried himself quite well. When he was outside at the end, he sort of just slowly pointed for Riddle to get back in the ring. And that was pretty cool, but overall, like, where's the biggest potential here? Probably Matt Riddle, and you're flattening them out.
Yeah, but I think we're getting Drew AJ next. Like, I think like Drew AJ makes the most sense. So you've got to give AJ the win.
Yeah, but then give AJ a strong win. I don't want to see Drew go up against AJ and this giant guy.
But it's about getting the giant over.
Oh my god. Drew McIntyre then told Charlie Caruso that he'll show up for Randy's Message from Hell promo. I bet that will deliver. Lana took on Asuka for the Raw Women's title. Lana actually cut some really good promos on social media over the weekend, none of which were used here. I got sucked in again. They reported, Luke, that WWE were going to give Lana a babyface push. They think that Lana is their next mega babyface after she won the Battle Royal last week. Oh, God, she lost in 2 minutes and then got put through a table by Nia Jax again.
How did you buy it, mate? How did you buy into it?
Just an optimistic son of a bitch.
And I do, and I love that about you, man. And I love your level of optimism, but I don't think you were looking at that entire Raw roster and thought, hey, do you know who our next big breakout babyface star is? It's Lana.
Well, no, I didn't think that, but I think WWE might be stupid enough to push her over, you know, people who can actually competently wrestle.
Dude, Peyton Royce, Vince is high on Peyton Royce backstage. He's now in a tag team with Lacey Bloody Evans, a tag team that doesn't get on, for the record.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I actually quite like Lana and Asuka's interaction for the 2 minutes they had. I thought they'd obviously worked very hard on it. Lana did some kicks, there was some good dodges in there, but she tapped out in minutes. Lisa and Jax turn up. Jax puts Lana through a table. 5th week running now. I incorrectly said 4 weeks on the review earlier. Which, you know, these table spots, 5 weeks now, just so happens to coincide with when Rusev turned up in AEW and when Lana got her Bang Energy deal on social media, which was reportedly one of the straws that broke the camel's back of WWE deciding to own all of those Twitch and Instagram accounts.
Hey, did you see that report that came out as well? That like Big E was making $60,000 a month from Cameo. So like, you get no wonder WWE were trying to squash that. Oh, stop getting yourself over.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Yes, after that, Shayna and Jax cut a promo about how they're the best in the women in the singles or tag women's divisions, and that brought out a slew of blonde women. And Ruby Riott, who's got green hair. So we got Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, they're one team. Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce. And yeah, the Riott squad for a match. And it was okay. You know, everyone just hitting moves. Was over very quickly. Nia Jax won. Now,
yeah,
tell us about Peyton Royce.
So this wasn't a title match. They told that at the top of the thing, that this wasn't for the titles. This was just a four-way match. First point of this, one of these teams is on SmackDown. SmackDown's Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. And Tom Phillips had the audacity on the Raw episode to be like, hey, why not SmackDown stars? Because this is Raw, Tom. And we're supposed to be pretending that this brand split matters, you div. Why not SmackDown, guys? Hey, why not? Actively telling you that it doesn't matter. So, Peyton Royce, they split up the Iconics. Why? Who knows? But they split up the Iconics, then they had a match, and then Billie Kay was her second. Then they had another match on main event, so they didn't really know, are they split up? Are they friends? Are they this or are they that? Now they've been split into different brands. You're like, okay, cool. So this is because they're looking, we had that report. Hey, Vince really likes her backstage. Our own Louis Dangor, everyone is high on Peyton Royce backstage. Everyone really, really likes her. She's heading for a singles push. What do we got in this episode? No, she's just tagging. She's in a new tag team now with Lacey Evans. And you could make the argument it's not really a tag team, but they did a tag team entrance. They had a choreographed tag team entrance, and they're a tag team that don't get on. Brilliant. Because we've already got that with the Bloody Champions. We don't need another tag team that's not getting on. So you split up the Iconics just to put her in a different tag team. She's Cesaro. This is Cesaro's WWE career. We're splitting up this tag team, Tony. But we're just going to put you in a different tag team. Is that all right? You will get a tag title run, but it will mean nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I took from it that this is just a tag team thrown together for the purposes of the match, but we'll see.
Great division.
After that, we got Elias coming out to perform songs from his forthcoming album to be released next Monday, Universal Truth. And I thought, foolish of me, I'm looking forward to this. I loved Elias's old heel songs that he used to do. Sure, he won't have the crowd to feed off, but hey, he's going to have written some funny heel songs like I'm the Best, Jeff Hardy Smells. I don't know. I like musical comedy. That's not what they did. Elias just came out and did a crap gig with crap generic songs, more generic than the Raw opening music. For like 6 minutes.
Yeah, he played two songs. He threatened to play a third. It's, do you know what? It's not half bad. You know, it's generic. Don't get me wrong. It's your mum's new favourite album to put on the car while she's doing the run to pick up the kids in the shopping and what. But it's useful. But you know what? The band are competent. He's a good guitar player. He's a decent enough singer. He just played some songs. That's it. He's got a new album out. Well done him.
They went through that. Why isn't this a heel album? Why aren't these heel songs?
Because he wanted to write an actual album and he wanted to release some actual songs.
No.
And WWE have given him the platform for him to write some songs and release an album. Elias is releasing an album next Monday and it's just an actual album.
Really?
Well, yeah, clearly that's what he's been doing with his time off, right?
Read this somewhere? Have you read this or are you just assuming?
Well, these are two regular ass songs. Right? So
Elias must have written them?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he wrote them himself, but I would imagine it's a passion project of his. Dude,
well,
they were regular.
There's so much stuff that WWE don't put on their shows that's really good that their talent do. Why would they choose this?
To promote the album. Maybe they've got
an investment in the album.
Maybe they've got an investment in the album sales. I don't know. Maybe
they've
put money into this.
Twitch and Cameo account at the moment.
Yeah, so they'll probably be promoting those on Raw soon enough. Hey, we were plugging up, down, down, getting like a million subscribers and whatnot.
Why is this the segment that's broken me? I've been holding it together until now. This is really genuinely annoying.
Dude. If this wasn't a real album full of real songs that he wanted to do, they'd be comedy heel songs, right? But they're not. They're generic real ass songs. So it must just be something that he wanted to do. And WWE like it. And they like him and they're giving him a shot.
For the purpose of my mental health, we're going to move on. Because I actually liked a few of the next segments. Tucker challenged Miz and Morrison backstage. Which made Tucker look a bit lame, but he has to go find a mystery tag team partner for later on. Kofi Kingston came out with Xavier Woods, and then Sheamus interrupted them, calling them two turds of the New Day. Like, turds. Which was very funny. And they had a decent match. You know, it's Kofi and Sheamus. But the cool thing was Big E was in the Thunderdome crowd, given that power of positivity, which helped Kofi win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was a really good match, actually. Really, really good match. We've not seen it in 9 years, so you'd expect it to be pretty good, pretty special. But they went a long time. Kofi at the Trouble in Paradise from out of nowhere. Decent stuff. I suppose next week, or maybe even this Sunday, Sheamus will find a brand new tag partner to go after the New Day and get their tag belts. Who could it be?
I think it'll be Cesaro, because why not SmackDown? Why not have SmackDown stars on Raw?
Why not? Maybe they can say that he's actually signed a brand new contract that allows him to be a tag team with Sheamus on Raw and a tag team with Nakamura on SmackDown. And it's just a quarterly brand invitational thing.
Then we got the Ali promo.
Could be Elias. He's got an album to promote.
Then we got the Hurt Business joking around with Titus O'Neil, who wanted to join them. Offered his worldwide services. They beat him up instead. So their heels. But then we got undoubtedly an actual shining light, an island of genuine pro wrestling goofiness that connected completely in an absolute sea of crap. And that was Miz and Morrison versus Tucker and Tucker's mystery opponent, who he built up that he had to scour the entire world. He went from east to west, looked up and down, and his partner is El Gran Gordo, which was Otis in a pink gimp mask, lucha mask, and a cape. And
I believe as well, it's the same pink mask and cape that Mickey James used as La Luchadora.
Oh, brilliant. That's very fun.
Which is why it didn't fit very well.
But Otis, and he's even holding the lunchbox money in the bank briefcase. And Miz says, we know that's Otis. He's even carrying the briefcase. And just Otis is just sort of saying in the background throughout all of this really bad Spanish without a slightest attempt at an accent. It's like, me hablo no Miz Morrison. I was... I found this actually really, really amusing. Although I could have just lost my mind. I don't know. This could be Stockholm syndrome I'm exhibiting now.
I am going to answer this question here. This is from Tex Even. Says, how do you know it was Otis? He never unmasked. I could tell you how we know it was Otis. Because Tom Phillips, the big jerk, just said, well, that's Otis. We all know that's Otis. So I was like, play along, Tom. Come on, mate. We're baby faces having a laugh here, mate. Play along. We're supposed to be making the heels look like divs. I just go like, I mean, although it's very clearly, it's just Otis in a mask. Oh, come on, Tom. Be a pal, will you?
He's meant to be in SmackDown, though, isn't he? Why not?
Why not SmackDown, guys? It's the season premiere of Raw. Why not SmackDown, guys?
Hey, why not? Maybe that should be a new series we could do.
I honestly would not be against El Gran Gordo being a character on Raw and Otis being a character on SmackDown. I could totally be on board with it. I'd absolutely love that. I'd be so on board for it.
So the match was really funny as well. They worked this very well as a comedy match. There's this great, great spot where El Gran Gordo got up to the bottom rope and did a really clumsy, heavy arm drag. And it was just like, Lucha! And I got over really, so really liked it. I really, really like this. But then R-Truth ran through. It was so good. Even R-Truth needlessly running through didn't ruin it for me. And this distracted Miz long enough for Otis to hit the caterpillar and win.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we've now got two new additions to the 24/7 title picture in Grand Metalik and the other one that's not Kalisto. What's his name? Lindsay Dorado. Yeah. And I did very much recognize them stopping to look at El Gran Gordo and almost give him a little nod of recognition to be like, I know you. Would have been so much better if Todd Phillips hadn't just gone like, but we all know. We all know it's Otis under the mask. Dick.
Why not, though? After that, we got Mandy celebrating with Otis and a New Day backstage. That was cute. Then we got the Fiend's Firefly Funhouse debuting the latest character. It's Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Alexa Bliss. Now, dude, the biggest part of this is he brought out the Crucix from the Randy Orton feud. The Crucix is back in WWE. It's back in WWE lore. The Crucix is back. This is the biggest bit of news, which means that surely we are leading into a Randy Orton feud, right?
He looked at it, didn't he? And then just was like, yeah. And that's. I didn't think of that, actually. That's a really good point. Yeah, if Fiend and Bray Wyatt, of course, aren't ones to drop little bits like that without follow-up and intention. So you would presume, but at the same time, they had a Paul Heyman character that just a few weeks ago.
That wasn't his fault, though, was it? That wasn't his fault. It's not their fault, though.
I'm not saying it's Pete's fault, Luke.
No, you're right.
WWE could just change their plans.
Dude, no, sorry. It's your fault that we can't do long-term storytelling.
It's also our fault about Keith Lee.
Yeah. So I feel bad on this one, man, because I was with you. I was with you all the way on this. I thought, there's no way. There is absolutely no way that Keith Lee is going to come up onto the main roster with, sure, the music is bad. Sure, the gear's rubbish. But he's in a feud with Randy Orton. He beat Randy Orton on his pay-per-view debut in like 6 minutes. There's no way they're just going to give up on him. More fool us and more fool anyone who believed that he may have a shot.
I said in my video earlier that effectively I didn't say I told you so, but I said I told you so for all the Retribution fans who were excited about Ali's involvement as a leader. But then later on I was like, but I hold up my hands, that the same thing happened to me with Keith Lee. We were here saying, defending him, that WWE obviously had plans for him. He's gone straight into the main event title mix. It is so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, yeah. we can comically over-exaggerate our hate for Elias gimmicks and bits like that. But at the end of the day, we all, as wrestling fans, we really love these wrestlers and, you know, kind of idolize them. We're fans. And then to see WWE ruin them, like so carelessly, so lazily, is, it hits me in the core.
Do you know what the worst thing about this is? This counts against Keith Lee's win-loss record. He's got a big L now. He's got a big L on his win-loss record. A bitch.
After that unsanctioned match last week, well, you know, at least it's only one, hey? At least it's only one.
It got a lot in the sort of no contest column, though. A lot of draws.
So what happened here? Braun Strowman took on Keith Lee. They had 2 minutes of back and forth. Keith Lee did a few power spots. Braun Strowman was selling his ribs from his Friday match against Roman Reigns. But then ultimately, Braun Strowman backheaded Keith Lee in the nuts. He was sort of on his knees. Keith had him in the spirit bomb position. And Braun just whacked his head up in full view of the referee. And then pinned Keith Lee immediately. And the
poor commentators.
Like, I don't see anything wrong with this. One, two, three. And then, you know, it was pretty cool afterwards. Keith Lee just went right up to Braun and kicked him in the dick really hard. And that did look badass, but the damage was done.
Yeah, poor commentators, man, who had to be like, I mean, the referee was out of position and clearly didn't see it. And was like, no, he had full view. Absolutely full view of what was going on, made everyone look like a complete dunderhead. Oh man, not good, not good at all. Poor Keith Lee.
I don't even want to talk about it.
It actually makes me sad.
Yeah,
really, really upset me.
And finally, the main event segment was Randy Orton in the red cell. I forgot that it was red. That's correct. He's sitting in there. He cuts a decent promo, actually, talking about all the moments he's had in Hell in a Cell, who he's beaten, the titles he's picked up, when he earned The Undertaker's respect. He was like, right there, that's where I pinned Daniel Bryan, or that there's where I pinned so-and-so. And then Drew came out, couldn't get in the cell, obviously. Randy's laughed at him. So Drew produces bolt cutters. Now Randy's scared. He gets back in the ring. Drew opens the cell door, gets inside, closes the door, and then says something to the effect of, you're trapped in here with me now. And then the show ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dude,
it's fine. Better tune into Raw Talk, because surely like the action's going to continue on, right?
That's not what happened. You go, because I was the same. I was like, okay, so there's a follow-up angle on Raw Talk, right? It's weird they didn't push the network more to watch that. I go over to Raw Talk, and the cell is empty. The shot is at Caruso and R-Truth, and you can see the cell in the background. There's no one there. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, pure, this company. How can you be so just cavalier and disrespectful to anyone who wants to actually believe in these stories and characters?
Yeah, because the director said cut and they stopped what they were doing and they left the ring because a new show's got to start and we need to cut to that action instead. I did not like this ending. It's not been a great build towards Hell in a Cell either. And it's remarkable they've done so little around the fact that Orton pinned him. Like, he's mentioned it in promos, but it doesn't feel like that's the driving force of this feud, which it really should be, that Randy's now got his number. Yeah, sure, he's beaten me twice on pay-per-view before, but this time you won't have legends backing you up, and this time I've already pinned you. I'm in your head. And we're in a structure that I'm very, very familiar with, and you're not. That is the story you could have been telling. It's not the story they've told. In fact, they've told no story. It's been night vision goggles. And then a closing segment, which was just Drew walks into the cell, and that is it. Load of crap.
I gave it a poor. I gave it a bore. I gave it 1 out of 5. I always say me to give it the lowest rating. It doesn't have to be just bad. It has to be actively damaging to stuff. And they went all out on this episode. Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, Retribution, all of the stories and feuds. Like, why would anyone watch this show if they weren't, if they didn't have to for their jobs?
Yeah. We get that question a lot. you know, if this wasn't your job, would you be watching this show? Absolutely not. I'd have probably watched this season premiere because it's the new start, and I'd have realized, ah, it's the same crap we've been seeing, you know, for the entire year. Pass, thanks.
Yeah. I'll tune back in for Survivor Series, maybe Royal Rumble. Yeah.
Because brand loyalty gets me hard.
So last call for Super Chats. Oh my, we've got a bunch of them. So let's speed through these. Jay Bigger, 313. So USA Network is behind Retribution?
I thought it was going to be Adam Pearce. So maybe.
The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam. Retribution now look as rubbish as the Old Authority does. Did somewhat like the Elias concert. And got a laugh out of the Grand Gordo thing. How dare you, Ryan. The Ollie Authority reigns supreme. Jobber JTJ 496. So the final segment on the Go Home show is a door being open. New Japan should follow suit. Lol. Very good. So how's that Keith Lee main event push going?
Oh, mate, there's a lot of like humble pie for us to be tucking into here. Tucking into, if you will.
It is not tasty. Basically, oh,
I don't like this one at all.
Nate Est, surely Hell in a Cell opens with Orton and Drew already in the cell for their match. Continuity. Can't believe he beat Lee and gave Peyton a rebound partner.
Oh, mate, so sad.
Like that idea, though. Shower Lurker, I told you about Keith and you two laughed at me. Hands up.
If we laughed, dude, I'm so, so sorry, man. That is, I had so much confidence, though. I thought if there's anyone, it can't be Keith.
Bacon Rasher. Are Keith and Braun going for a you-know-what kick storyline? Oh, God, not again. Also, please sync the banners next time, lads. Lol. Wrestle talk, JTJ. I think that's...
Yeah, it's not quite synced, but I can't move mine over any further, so you'd have to do yours. Because I'm right next to my window now. But what was the actual sort of question in there?
The dick storyline.
Yeah, I hope. Do you remember that bit in Brooklyn Nine-Nine when Hitchcock and Scully have to fake a fight? So they're just 69 each other, punching each other in the nards. That's what I want the Braun Strowman Keith Lee feud to just be. Like their next match is just them on the floor, just 69 punching each other in the dick.
James Dobinson, I know not everyone is sold on it, but it feels to me like Alexa Bliss has completely rejuvenated the Fiend and made him relevant again. Loving it.
I loved it last week. I wasn't as keen on it this week, but I'm still like, I'm more into it. I'm more into the Fiend now. I haven't been this much into the Fiend since last year, like before Hell in a Cell last year. I'm not at that same level of like, oh man, he's the greatest thing, but I'm so much more invested in the Fiend now than I am like his feud with Braun, the Blue Universal title, the Universal title run that he had, the second Blue Universal title run. Yeah, I'm more into him now. Absolutely.
Greg Anderson, now that Alexa is with the Fiend, do you think Bray will bring out the alter ego in her as well and she will get a mask like the Fiend?
It's certainly possible. Apparently, Alexa Bliss, like someone pointed out that there's been like an Alexa Bliss like Fiend figure like on the set before. So yeah, absolutely. I think it's certainly possible. I was surprised that she's not like a Mr. Rogers like type character in the Funhouse. I was fully expecting her to be one, but she just came out being like, no, I'm still Alexa Bliss here.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. I really like the Brave Fiend Bliss stuff, but think Otis being the best thing on Raw really does show the sad state of WWE right now. Jam that jam. They almost need a draft to address the roster imbalance. Tony Rose, what is gained by individual for donating? Just wondering. Love the Fiend Brave Bliss storyline. Money, show me that money and merchandise. You mean for Super Chats? Just a way to get your message read out by us. Tony. Yeah. Venom Kitsetsu. Mankind's Claw worked on a full mask Kane. What are the rules?
Well, at least he had a little slip.
Kevin. Commentary kind of pissed me off by referring to Big Jordan as this huge man, guy, large human being, bodyguard, when we already know his name. They just look stupid as always.
You want to talk about looking stupid? Byron Saxon at the end of that match was like, huh, so is this new guy an associate of AJ Styles? I'm like, what do you think, Byron? He's been out there the entire time, you div.
Ben Crossley, you guys keep saying that drafting Kofi and Woods makes no sense, but Raw drafted the tag champions. I guess that's how they justify it.
No, dude, it doesn't make sense because they had the option to draft New Day as a complete package and they chose not to. There's no logic behind that.
KML, my new favorite wrestler is undrafted Cian Almas. Apparently he's got some minor surgery, so he'll be out for a month. Bo Hill.
They drafted Charlotte.
Yeah, but she's important, Luke.
Oh, okay.
Bo Hill, every time I see John Morrison, I just get sad and pissed at how wasted he has been. He should be a title contender, not the Miz's sidekick.
Said this in my review, in my video I did last week. I'd much rather babyface Morrison going after the Hurt Business and feuding with Bobby Lashley than I am him just being a dickhead with Miz as a dickhead Miz and their team of dickheads.
The legit man. Will Elias and Hardy have Rock Off?
I hope so. I hope that's a segment next week.
Echo, nah, man, I like the actual songs. Were good, in my opinion. Well,
there you go, man.
Entitled to your opinion. Duff's 101, simple question. Does Vince legit think all wrestling fans are stupid? Yes, I think it comes from the days of the promotion business. You know, you go, that's why we're called marks, that we are marks to con, to trick into thinking that this is a real fight.
It's not a term of endearment. We have made it a term of endearment to ourselves, but Vince just thinks we are complete morons.
Omega works. I just want to know where these ideas come from and who the hell signs off on them. Is it really Vince thinking they're good ideas?
Yes.
He's the guy at the top, yeah. Injection 2K. I've actively got tired of WWE. It's hard for me to stop watching, but I know I really need to. I'm too fatigued at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone has that problem. I think a lot of people have got that issue. It's just like, oh, I've been doing it. We actually had a Patreon mailbag about this a little while back. It's just like, I've been watching this for 30 plus years of my life. Like, it's actively hard for me to not watch it. Like, what am I supposed to do if I don't watch it?
Mark Flay, I watched Raw last night because I couldn't go to sleep. That was a mistake. Might be the worst wrestling show I have ever seen. It's up there.
Yeah, you say it.
Yeah. Nathan O, Raw, a product not even The Miz can save. Give it a few weeks or months, though, because he does weirdly turn stuff around. Zachary Jenkins, Mr. Davis, what meant by I know how you feel is WWE has shattered the feeling of optimism for me, so let's go AEW NXT, jam that jam.
Jam that jam.
Can't get invested in stuff. Gavin White, you guys forget WWE forgets how to book after Survivor Series.
Or maybe that SummerSlam.
Mm. Yeah, well, they've got the Survivor Series stuff and the draft, which are kind of the same thing. Nate S, I watched first 20 minutes of Raw and decided that I was much better off having you tell me what happened. Why did The Fiend come out at the open? Just a random plot device?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the top pick on Raw.
That's exactly what it is. Kevin, I sent you a mail weeks ago talking about how I was done with Raw and SmackDown. I gave it another shot after SummerSlam, but Raw is just as bad. I'll stick to SmackDown.
SmackDown's a good show, man.
Jobber JTJ496 again. Remember last year when Seth was crying in the corner?
Oh, mate. But it's our fault that he had to turn heel.
Tornicade, perhaps The Fiend should feud with the writers and Vince and change them into a competent writing team. We can only hope.
The legit man said, it's a little early, but who do you think will be the next Royal Rumble winner? Big E Langston on the men's side of things and Bianca Belair on the women's.
I'll say Edge and Charlotte Flair.
Oh, for God's sake. I mean, you actually might be on the side with Charlotte there. Marquise Edwards, if WWE manages to get The Rock versus Roman for Mania, do you think we could possibly see Styles versus The Undertaker again for his official retirement match? Who do you think will take the title off of Drew? We've had the official retirement match. That was the Boneyard, or the Boneyard match, rather. The Good Brothers, Quizzlemania Tag Champions, the Good Brothers have actually coined Boneyard as their own thing now. And stolen our belts. Thanks, Blumps. So I think we have had the official retirement of The Undertaker. I don't know who's going to take the title off Drew at this point.
Randy.
Probably Brock. Brock. Charlie Davis. I'm terrified about Adam Cole being moved to the main roster in any way. All I want at this point is him to go home to his elite family.
Yeah, I don't think you can be excited about any main roster call-up now.
Amro, do you think WWE actively puts fake news out there to make news sites look bad, like the news about the Lana push? Yes, Yes and yes. I had this whole conspiracy theory about this last year. That I think that Meltzer was fed duff information about the Crown Jewel plane being grounded so that they could actively say he's a bad reporter and they could discredit all of the other news about it.
It was the rah-rah speech.
Yeah, the rah-rah speech. That's exactly it, yeah. Isaac Merriweather, do you think that Shane O'Mac would benefit the wrestlers if he was in a creative role? Raw Underground says otherwise.
Well, he's doing creative. He helped book the Royal Rumble match this year. He's been involved in a few other things. So, yeah, but limited. He's not the savior everyone thinks he is.
I'd said it on the video last week, but I'd really like him to be the manager of Dabba Kato and Antero Ruas as a tag team. Like, just give them a purpose. And I think him as a manager might actually help them. Benjamin John Milne says, can't help but see WWE now and not compare it to the cringy 2K20 DLC. Speaking of games, thoughts on the All-Star-style New Japan game? I haven't actually played. If it's a recent one, I've not played it. I haven't played a new game in about 5 years at this point.
I am playing Hades, and I want to get back to it.
Injection says, good morning, you guys. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Injection.
Yeah, doing very well, mate. Jose Vasquez, Mr. Davis was right. Mr. Davis knows all. All hail the All Authority. Shame on the Good Brothers not knowing how many rounds there are. It's also a good strategy. But WAP is still a banger. Absolutely. It is a banging track, mate.
It's
makes you want to get rowdy. Makes you want to get rowdy. Angel Perez, still don't get got on Phenomenas. Still don't. Oh, saw don't get got on Phenomenas and purchased it for Halloween party and it was loads of fun. Also, where's my t-shirt? I ordered it 3 months ago.
Oh, if that's the case, email me, ollie@wrestletalk.com.
Yes,
should have arrived. Also, there should be a dedicated customer service team there for you as well. Yeah, or send me an email, ollie@wrestletalk.com.
On the other subject, though, Don't Get Got is fantastic. We played it at Christmas, and we had it like running over 5 days. Oh, it's so, so good. It's so much fun. Zabis says, how about an NXT recap in 4 minutes on a weekly basis, Oliver Davis?
Well, that's actually more work. So I, you know, if you noticed, I do the majority. It's one person doing the news videos these days because we're doing it from our front rooms, not in the office. And one of us can't watch AEW and NXT in time.
And get the news out in time, yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone's suggestions that I've seen, and I've seen plenty, I've thought of them all already, and unfortunately we can't make them work.
Zach Robinson, afternoon, gents. Just received a Jam That Jam patch to sew on the arm of my denim jacket. Can't wait to explain the nichest of references to people. Question for Ollie. How many rounds were there to Raw this week? Small Afro Games, Jaron Walker. Love you guys. Been a rough week. Crystal and I broke up last week. Thanks for being the distraction I need. That's been a long-term romance on the podcast side of things we had. They met through this podcast.
Sorry to hear that, Jaron.
It is sad. Stu, where's Calling Spots? I actually enjoyed that series. Returns tomorrow, Stu. And what's the lineup for this Sunday's live reactions? It's me and Pete. Pete is dressed up as Nikki Bella because this guy absolutely crapped out in the drafts the other week. So Pete's got to dress up as Nikki Bella for it. And I'm putting my championship on the line against Mr. Davis. Our predictions for Hell in a Cell will be going up later today.
And Louis Dangor will be live streaming that as well. Hoping to recruit him to the All Authority, you know, now he's on Wrestling Daily.
Cracker9123 will listen later as I'm a podcast listener. I haven't watched Raw SmackDown since Jinder Mahal became WWE champion. That's when I had enough. You guys kept me filming. Hashtag G1 Climax, hashtag AEW.
Now is not the time to pick up Raw and SmackDown again. It's worse. I'd say it's worse. SmackDown, you'll do better off with.
I've got two bits of misheard lyrics that I want to go with you today. But before we do that, how was your weekend, mate?
It was good. I watched The Fly for the first time ever.
What, the Goldblum Fly?
Goldblum Fly.
Oh, mate, I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on this. Before I put my cards out on the table, what did you think of it?
blew my mind. I went in expecting, you know, because a lot of Cronenberg's work around that time is a bit incoherent. And I love it. Like, I love Videodrome. I love Scanners. I love Dead Ring. Well, Dead Ring is okay. It's a bit boring in parts. The Brood. I just like Cronenberg in general. But weirdly, I just never seen his most famous film, arguably. But we're doing... Did I tell you we're doing a film club? Me and a bunch of my mates from home. Cool. Every 2 weeks. Genius idea, this is. We each get to pick a film, but you're not allowed to have seen the film. It's not like a thing you just, hey, watch this film that I really like, because you come with so much baggage. You're afraid of offending someone who doesn't like it. But this way, everyone, it's like a level playing field of thoughts. I'm like, it's some don't, no one feels attached to it. And I chose The Fly because I'd never seen it before. And we're doing it on Wednesday, like analyzing it. And yeah, I was fully expecting like a bit of a, not low rent, but just a bit of a mishmash.
80s schlock.
Yeah, but what I got was, and this is high praise because I think John Carpenter's The Thing is legit top 10 of all time. It's The Thing levels of great.
Oh yeah. It's a masterpiece, man. Mm. It's every time I watch it, I just think it gets better and better every time I see it. I just find some new wrinkle to absolutely fall in love with. The heartbreak finale of this, when he just lifts the gun up. Oh, man. Like, it gets me every single time. It's so heartbreaking. Gina Davis is like absolutely phenomenal in it as well. She's so, so great. Is that the moment that always really strikes me? Because it is like, it's quite gross at times. Mm. It's really gross at times. But when she comes around, he's like really quite, he's quite far into his Brundlefly transformation. And he just throws up onto his food in front of her. And she looks like really weirded out. And he just goes, oh, sorry. Yeah, I've got to do this. I'm not used to people being around here.
Do you want to try a Goldblum version of that line? We had someone submit the was it Jurassic Park Goldblum?
Yeah, it was Lost World Goldblum. Like, yeah. With all the running and the screaming.
Yes, he's very still Goldblum, very full Goldblum. It's almost like a comedic performance, but it's like mad scientist levels of uncomfortable. Like, when the film started, I thought, no way is he going to be able to maintain Goldblum levels of weirdness and make this serious, but everything works. Everything, brilliant film.
I went to a screening back in the days when you used to be able to go to the cinema screens that were like filled to capacity, and they would hold Q&A sessions, and it was really really fun because people weren't worried about stuff. But I went to a Q&A screening with David Koepp, who wrote Jurassic Park for Spielberg after the Crichton book. And one of the questions that was asked of him is, how did you script Jeff Goldblum to do that laugh? You know that laugh in Jurassic Park, where he's like, it's very good. What a great film that is. Anyway, that's also a very, very fun little club you've got there, mate. I may steal that idea.
You're welcome to.
My friends on board. I think that's a good one, mate.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was mostly uneventful, really. Mm. Didn't really do a great deal. Next weekend, we're hoping to go pumpkin picking, but it's a bit up in the air at the moment because we're not entirely sure about sort of the tier 2 lockdown stuff of whether we're allowed to. I mean, it is outside to go and meet friends.
Well, the problem is in tier 2 part 9/8, it actually... rules you out from going near any of the major squash families. Pumpkin picking's out, I'm afraid, if we get to that level. But before we get to that level, I believe the gopher has got to come out before dawn.
Right, okay. Mm. Yeah, I mean, do you know what? It is clear. It is really clear.
You can level many criticisms at the government's handling of the coronavirus pandemic, but one thing you can't fault them for is a clarity of message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've got nothing but positive things to say about how clear the messages have been.
Can't say positive. It's a bit too.
You're right. Yeah, it's too soon. Too soon. Ugh. Right. We got quite a lot of misheard lyrics in I went through all of them that you've sent us all. I was going to play them last week because we had a bit of a disaster on the AEW show. That is all on me. That was my fault. I kind of made a bit of a balls up there.
Trying to botch my segment.
trying to take
every other podcast in existence has had before us.
But some of them that were sent in, I could not, like, even when reading what they thought the misheard lyrics was, I couldn't get onto it. I couldn't be like, I can sort of see what you mean there. But there are two that I did want to try. So the first one, Ollie Davis, if you could load up an absolutely banging song, Bad Romance by Lady Gaga.
Love that. What
a tune.
My recent search history, by the way, in Spotify is weird now. It jumps between all these songs I'm looking up for you. So I've got Bad Romance. Do you want me to start playing at a specific point?
Yeah, so basically we need to get to the rah, 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 rah bit of the song, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Right, so, let's get up the email from this person. This comes in from Oliver, Ollie Flood, in fact. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I've been finding your new segment of misheard lyrics, song lyrics, quite amusing, and I thought I'd send one of my own, even though I'm aware it doesn't make any sense. I still hear it every time. In the song Bad Romance by Lady Gaga, when she sings this verse, ra 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 ra, rum rum rum, Gaga, ooh la la, want your bad romance. The want your bad romance part always sounds to me like, well, you've been rubbing my ass, or rubbing my ass.
Well, you've been rubbing my ass. No. Rah, rah, rah. You've been rubbing my ass.
I know it's ridiculous. But I can hear it. And it makes me smile every time the song comes in. Hope that provides a giggle for you. All the best to everyone at Rust Talk. So let's have a listen. See if you can hear, well, you've been rubbing my ass. Oh, ass, I think would be the best way. No.
You're talking about Other Oliver. And quite amusing. Why did you have to put quite in there?
Yeah, that is, do you know what? And that, I think, has been a bit of a story of all the submissions I've had in. Someone sent in one about Taylor Swift, which I got dead excited about because I know you're a big Swiftie, along with Denise Salcedo. But it's not one that I can...
And Miro.
And, well, obviously, and Miro. It's not one I couldn't fully get on board. Actually, do you know what? Let's try this one that came in. It's another Taylor Swift song. This one comes in from Handsome Dave. It says, for a while time after Taylor Swift released her groundbreaking album 1989, I was convinced a few absurd misheard lyrics in style. I'm not the biggest Taylor Swift fan. I think she is pretty much fine.
Oh, come on, you contrarian son of a bitch.
It's not being contrarian. She's fine. I don't think she's like brilliant or out, but she is fine. However, Style is a fantastic song. That is an absolutely brilliant song. So if you could get Style up for me, please.
Got it up.
He was convinced the lines were, you got those bright green daydream looking your eyes. I've got that red lip plastic thing that you like. Turns out the song's about a lovely relationship that is held to secrecy into a saucy tryst style involving a marital aid. But I was scream singing in my car on a daily basis, and it took my coworker a ride to be corrected. That same person thought, so you've got that bright green. What is the lyrics then? If you've got that.
I don't know. I thought you were looking into this.
I'm just reading the email that Handsome Dave has sent over. I'm working with the tools that I've been given.
Let's see what Tay-Tay has to say.
Mm-hmm. Skip to the head to the chorus, please.
It's the whole song.
Here we go.
You got that
Uh-huh, of course, there it is. So he thought it was red lip plastic thing that you like. But no, it's very much classic, which is lovely, really. I think it's a very good song, that.
It's a great song. So shall I dish out one of mine, which I think,
well,
back to the original. Okay, I'll hold off.
I do have one more, because I did look into this one, and this one is very good. This is a classical one, actually. So if you can look for Handel Messiahs, For Unto Us a Child is Born.
From the, I don't know, I guess that's like an opera for Messiah. A Child Was Born. How classical music is sort of titled. It's all over the place. HWV 56 part 2 colon 29.
Hold on. All right, I'll tell you what, I will Discord you the thing, because I've already looked into this one. Okay, Discord it to you now. Hey, you got that?
I do. Okay, got the YouTube version up.
Yep.
Any particular timestamp? Son of a bitch advert.
So, yeah, you want to get to about where the sort of the people are singing, so... Okay, so you want to go to about sort of 15 seconds or so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously the song is called For Unto Us a Child is Born. Here's what Matt says. Good day, you fine gentlemen, working diligently to keep us consistently entertained through these uncertain times. I've recently added classical music to my rotation. I recommend everyone at least try this. It's glorious. My misheard lyric comes from For Unto Us a Child is Born. I don't know if it's my car's speakers or the particular recording I've downloaded, but the lyric, which is supposed to be the same as the song's title, does sound like, oh, won't you love some Chinese porn?
That's what I'm talking about.
Even now, years on for the first coming across this, I have to really focus in order to hear the lyrics as they are intended. This is a great segment. Thank you for everything. So this one's a bit of a winner.
Hear that?
Yeah, right.
What do you want some Chinese porn? No. Messaging me.
Thank you very much for that one, Matt. What did you have?
Well, I had. And I think my version's better than Radiohead's. So Fake Plastic Trees, one of my old songs.
Great song. Great song, mate. Oh, mate. What an album that is.
Yes, The Bends, of course. In the sort of, it's a beautifully structured song. In the third verse, the big reprise is, and I will get the lyrics up for you. But I can't help the feeling I could blow through the ceiling if I just turn and run. Mm-hmm. But what I always heard, which I think's better, is, but I can't help the feeling I could blow through the ceiling if I just had a roof. Don't laugh. That's better.
I would blow the ceiling if I had a roof.
Well, it's kind of like it's a sort of funny, tragic thing to say. If I just had a roof. Do you hear it?
Go on, one more time. I do hear it.
And it's a better lyric. Segment saved. We've got to do a live show.
Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.